Open your Bibles, if you haven't got them over there, to Joshua 1. Joshua 1, get your message outline right there in your Bible. And you see in your outline, I've got a question that I posed to you this morning from Ecclesiastes. Since no man knows the future, who can tell what is to come? If there is ever a time after the last 4 years we've been through, an election coming up, it's always a time people want to know what's going to happen next. What does the future hold? And in fact, human beings, it's just part of our nature, I think, we have an unquenchable thirst to know that which we can't know. What's going to happen in the future? I mean, astrology and palm reading and all the crystal balls and all these different things that people will do and spend good money for to try and understand, to try and predict what is going to happen in our nation, in our world, in my life, whatever it might be. Nobody knows. Well, there are some things on what not to do about the future. I'll give them to you quickly here because Joshua 1 answers that. Don't presume about tomorrow. Don't panic about tomorrow. Don't procrastinate about tomorrow. Three things in God's Word that He clearly says, you know what, as a believer, as a child of God, being in Christ with the Holy Spirit indwelling you, here's some things you don't need to do. Proverbs 27:11. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you don't know what a day may bring forth. So in other words, God is saying, you know what, don't brag about tomorrow, don't say good things or I'm going to do good things, whatever it might be. God is basically saying, you don't even know if you're going to have a tomorrow. You're one heartbeat away from eternity. Life is uncertain. Not only do you not know what the future holds, but if God were to show you and I everything that would happen in the rest of our life, it'd probably be too much for us. So He doesn't overwhelm us. He gives it to us a day at a time, 24 hours at a time. And He says, don't worry about what's going to happen next week, next year, whatever it is. He's saying, don't presume on your future. One, by don't plan without praying. If you plan and say, I'm going to do this and that, that's presuming. But if you do it in cooperation with God, then that's good. And then He says, don't panic about tomorrow. Matthew 6:34. Do not be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time. So in other words, worrying is just our attempt to control the future, to try and intervene in something we don't even know if it's going to happen or not, but we want to be involved in it. It doesn't work. It is trying to play God. It is assuming His role and not ours. It's assuming responsibility for something God never intended us to have to take on ourselves. So it doesn't work. It doesn't affect the future. It just upsets the present, the today. And so He says, live one day at a time. You can plan for the future. There's good responsibility in that. But He's saying don't live in the future. Don't forego the present. That's why He says, give us this day our daily bread, not our monthly bread, our annual bread. Third, don't procrastinate until tomorrow. Ecclesiastes 11:4. If you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. So the question is, what has God told you to do? What has God put on your heart? What is He speaking to you in that still small voice that you haven't done yet? Whatever it is about tomorrow, next week, next year, whatever you sense God is saying to you, what He's saying is you better get it done. Don't put it off. Don't wait. Whatever God has told you to do, do. So God says, don't do these three things. We're uncertain. We want to know what the future holds, but here's three things on how not to approach. So how should I face an uncertain future? Well, Joshua 1, beautiful chapter. You all know it. God is giving Joshua this pep talk. That's why He's very often saying, be strong and courageous. Joshua knows that Moses is dead. He's about to cross the Jordan. He's about to go into everything that God has promised all this time, and it's all on him. And so the moment he steps across that Jordan, the moment he goes into the promised land, he knows for years and years he's going to face seven enemy nations, many of them bigger, stronger, better army, more trained than him. It's going to be a continuous battle for many, many years. Here he's got this group that he has to lead through this, and he is saying, how am I going to face this uncertain future? God knowing what is going to be on Joshua's heart and mind, God says, Joshua, you need to be courageous. Twice in the chapter there in Joshua. God says, if you do these three things, I'm going to tell you in Joshua chapter 1, Joshua, you will be prosperous. You will be successful. I will, as God, guarantee your success if you just do what I'm going to tell you. He says, set up a plan, stay in the Word, step out in faith. And God still today says, if you want to be a success, if you want me as God to bless you and for you to be prosperous and successful, even though you don't know what the future holds, he says, still today, you know who holds the future, and so first you have to plan, set up a plan. God plans. He doesn't do things spontaneously or without thought. Now he can, but he has laid out everything in his divine plan before the creation of the world. Planning is a godly act. And so God is telling Joshua here in verses 2 and 3, he says, this is how the rest of your life is going to go, Joshua. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River. I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. So here's Joshua, a man of conviction. He never gave up in spite of all kind of incredible opposition. He's a man of character, of integrity, of conviction, no matter what the battles were. And here's God saying, notice this, Moses, my servant, is dead. And he's saying, Joshua, one of the ways you prepare for the future is you let go of the past, okay? That was the past. Now you need to move on. This is a new chapter. Joshua and Moses were very close. They had been together for years. And now God is saying, Moses is dead. And now it's on you. And I've got a lot to do with your life through you right now, Joshua. That's why Proverbs says, don't go charging into battle without a plan. 16:9, we should make our plans, counting on God to direct us. So when you plan without letting God direct you, it's presumption. But when you plan prayerfully, it's wisdom. And God is telling Joshua here, get ready because here's the plan. Then here's the second thing he says. Stay in the Word, verse 7. Be careful to obey all the law. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Don't turn to the right or left. What does he mean by that? He's saying don't get sidetracked. There's going to be 101 things coming at you, Joshua, very quickly here. And so it's the same question we ask today. Why are there some people that start out on fire for the Lord? They're so great with God, trying to live the way he wants and trying to please him, but somehow because of life and everything that gets thrown at you, you get sidetracked. You lose focus. God gives us the answer in this passage. He said they didn't stay in the Word. He says don't get sidetracked. Don't go to the left or the right. You have to stay in the Bible every day. He's saying still today, coming to church once a week is not enough. It is like eating a meal once a week. And so you go through 6 days of fasting, and then on the seventh day, you just pig out, and what you get is spiritual indigestion. And so God is telling Joshua here, you've got to read the Bible every day. You've got to feed on it every day. You can't just have a feast day here on the day of worship, but you set up a plan. You stay in the Word, and if you don't, you will, Joshua, we will today get sidetracked. Verse 8, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So God says a promise of success being prosperous, Joshua, is based on your commitment to his word. Why? These are the operating instructions for life. This is the owner's manual that God as the owner has given you. And he says, if you stay in it, then your life will be blessed and you'll be prosperous and successful. If you do not, you will go to the left and the right and you will get sidetracked. So God has for you something to do, something to avoid. So he says, set up a plan, stay in the Word. Be filled with God's Word. How do you do that? You don't let it depart from your mouth, he says. Okay, so that means not only do you read it, but you talk about it, you discuss it. It might be a Sunday school class, it might be a Wednesday night Bible study. But there is wisdom in what God is saying here, because if you don't talk about it with anybody, if you don't learn from others, then you're not applying it to your life. You're probably not getting the real truths of God's word for your life. And so he says, don't let it depart from your mouth. There has to be that dynamic involved. And then he says, meditate on it night and day. So in other words, he's saying, seriously think about it. He's saying meditation is thought digestion, okay? It is focusing, it is concentrating. It is getting a verse or a passage, a truth, a principle from the Bible, and going over it and over it. He's saying that's meditation. And so when you think about it, is what he's telling Joshua and us today, and you think about something over and over, and it gets bigger and bigger, and you learn, and it gets innate, and you apply it, which leads to not only being more full in your life, but the third thing is to do it. He says, practice it. Practice it. He says, that you may be careful to do everything written in it. And so he says, be a living Bible. If you're not a Bible, you're a libel. So he says, spend time in the Word, because Bibles that are marked up and frayed and the binding is cracking, they're usually owned by someone who is not coming apart. Okay. Joshua is a busy man. Here he is leading millions of people. He's made time to set out some plans. He's made time to stay in the Word. And then God finally gives him the third advice, step out in faith. And I like that, step out, because faith is action. We've talked about that. It's not just believing something. It's not just mental assent. Faith is not just something you do cognitively in your head. It's more than saying, I believe. Even the devil says, I believe in Jesus. It means more than just knowing about him. It is committing yourself to him, letting God be number one, letting him call the shots. And so three times in this chapter, God says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Joshua needs courage. Now, courage, it's not the absence of fear, because Joshua doesn't know what's ahead. He knows it's going to be tough. But courage is when you move ahead, you step out in faith, you go with God in spite of your fear. And so Joshua had led these Israelites all the way to the Jordan River. He knows once they cross this river, there is going to be war big time. Seven different nations, all kinds of years. And what gives Joshua the confidence to do that? Verse 9. I've commanded you to be determined and confident. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for I, the Lord, am with you wherever you go. So the bottom line here for them and for us is that fear will keep you in the desert. Fear will keep you from stepping out in faith. Fear will keep you from giving a bad report instead of giving a good report. If you were to walk from Egypt to where Moses led them from Egypt to where they were going in the Promised Land, it would take a couple of weeks. Why did it take them 40 years? Why did they wander around and around in the desert? Because they came up first, they knew what God wanted them to do, but they couldn't step out in faith because they were afraid, they didn't have courage. They wanted to go back to Egypt, they knew it was painful there, but at least it was safe, they knew what it was like. It was better than the uncertain future. So literally, he says, step out in faith. As soon as the priest stepped into the river, the water stopped flowing and piled up. So when they left Egypt, Moses, all he had to do was raise his hands, the Red Sea parts, and they walked through on dry ground. The Red Sea parted first, and they walked through it. 40 years later, they came up to another body of water. Here they stand before the Jordan. The Jordan River, we believe at that time, was about 100 yards wide, about 40 feet deep. It's at flood stage now. It's overflowing. And God says, this time, instead of me opening it first, I want you to walk out into the water first. I want you to test me. And so the priests with the arks, they're to walk out into the water. The priests walk up to the water. They put their feet in it. They're up to their ankles. Now, they're getting a little nervous because they don't understand what's going on. You actually have to go to chapter 3 to read the rest of the story. But they go into the water a little more, and it's up to their thighs. And they go into the water a little more, carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and it's probably up to their chest at this point. What they didn't know is 17 miles north, up the Jordan River, that God had dammed it up, okay? So 17 miles north, God stops the water in a heap, it says, in Joshua chapter 3. They step in. They don't understand that the water has already stopped, but there's this waiting period for the water to go by them and then for it to be dry. It took a little time, probably, for that to flow down, for the water to go lower and lower. And what's the point? Why was God doing it this way? The first step is always the hardest. The first step is the one that requires the big faith. The first step is the one that requires courage. God says, you lay it on the line and you watch me bail you out. And so the question for us today is, what is your Jordan River? What is it that looks insurmountable, impossible, not humanly doable, something that you can't face in your life, financially, health-wise, relationship-wise, whatever it might be, physically, emotionally, spiritually, what is it that you're facing that you need courage for, that you have in this unknown future? What's your Jordan River? What do you need to step out in faith for? What is it that's keeping you in the desert or giving a bad report or being afraid and not stepping out in faith? Joshua is a man of courage. He's willing to do whatever it takes, what is right, whether anybody agrees or not. He's got God telling him what this plan is. 40 years earlier, still fresh in his mind, he sends 12 spies out. They look around, they come back, and they say, this place is full of giants. They're bigger than us. We can't do this. We can't take this land. And there's two of them that know, God is on our side. This is what he's telling us to do, and all we've got to do is do it. Only two people said yes. Nobody remembers all the people that said it can't be done. We only remember the people that said we can do it. And that name Joshua, it means Savior, Deliverer. Several thousand years later, fast forward, God tells another mother to name her baby Joshua. God tells Mary to name her baby Joshua. Jesus is the Aramaic phrase for Joshua, the same name in different languages. They mean Savior, Deliverer. And Jesus would be Deliverer, Savior, just like the first Joshua, except for a different group of God's people. And the second Joshua, Jesus Christ, doesn't want to take possession of a piece of land. He isn't concerned about going across the river. But he wants you to be strong and courageous because he wants to take possession of your life. He wants to be your deliverer. He wants to guide you through an uncertain future. He wants to guide you through no matter what it takes in life. Philippians 4:13, that's why it says, there's nothing I can't master with the help of Christ who gives me strength. And so God is saying when Christ is the master of your life, you can master any circumstances. You don't have to be afraid. You can be strong and courageous. He will give you the strength. There is nothing you can't master. And so whether it's illness, whether it's failure, whether it's death, whether it's financial loss, whether it's unemployment, it doesn't matter anything. God is saying if Christ is leading you, he masters those circumstances in your life. So you set up a plan. What do I think God is telling me to do? Don't procrastinate. I'll pray about it. I'll stay in the Word on a daily basis. I'll get direction from that owner's manual. I'll have God's plan. I'll let him have the last word. And then I'll step out in faith. That's the action part. And I'll watch God when I come that insurmountable problem. The waters that look too deep, that I'm already ankle deep, hip deep, chest deep up. And all of a sudden, the waters apart. He'll handle it for me. I can't control the future, but God can. I don't have to procrastinate or presume or panic. Do you believe that? Let's do it. Let's pray. Father God, What a beautiful lesson in real life, real events, not only back then, but our Joshua, our Savior, our Deliverer. And we want your plan for our lives today. Help us to stay in your word. Help us to learn your principles from the Bible. Help us to let you have the last word and take you, step out in faith, being strong and courageous. And we want to step out in faith today. We want you to guide us and direct us and lead us through that promised land. We want you to be the leader of our lives. We want you to master any circumstances that we face. And no matter how deep the waters seem to come up on us, we want to trust you completely and give ourselves to you because we know you do what you promise. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray.